In the name of one God, Holy Trinity. Amen. I'm going to start out this morning with a little self-disclosure. I wasn't the best math student when I was in school. I struggled with algebra, algebra 2, trig, calculus. And to be perfectly honest, I struggled not just to get an average grade in those classes, but I struggled just to sit through them. My brain just doesn't work that way. And one of the most humiliating episodes in my career as a student of mathematics took place first semester of my freshman year of college. I enrolled in a statistics class. I was required to take one math course to get my history degree, and instead of enrolling in college algebra and breezing through, I made a gigantic and prideful mistake and enrolled in stat. In the first 5 minutes of the very first lecture, I was 5 minutes behind, and I stayed that way for the entire semester. I got a D in that course, probably barely. And I can remember visiting my college counselor after the first semester. She was upbeat and encouraging and cheerful. She said, "Don't worry about the D. You can take it again and raise your score and cancel it out." And I responded, "Wait a minute. I got a D. That's a 1.0, right?" She said, "Yes, right." And I said, "I'll take the 1.0 and the credit, and I am never taking another math class as long as I live." I was not the best math student with the exception of one area, and I know this is true for a lot of people, but I crushed geometry out of the park. Geometry made perfect sense to me. It was so rational and straightforward. There were rules to memorize. It was orderly. I loved proofs. I really loved geometry. And why I didn't take that again in college, I have no idea. To me, there's something kind of exciting about if P, then Q. Then looking at the converse and the inverse and the contrapositive of that conditional. And I know, like little dorky, little geeky, but I loved it. And I still do love the sense that that makes. And this week we get this incredibly powerful story from Matthew. It's a transitional piece that's happening in the gospel. The story is beginning to focus more upon the identity of Jesus and the direction he's headed. We have what, with just a cursory read of the story, looks like Jesus giving a pop quiz to his disciples. I'm going to get back to the math here in a bit, so just hold on to the math. We have Jesus alone with his disciples. They've left the beach and headed to Caesarea Philippi, which we know is not his home turf. And he asks his disciples in this new and strange place, "Who are people saying that I am?" And they respond with all the traditional responses that a good Israelite would respond with in looking toward a prophetic teacher's emergence. John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets, a new prophet, maybe. And then he turns back to his dearest, those who have spent the most time with him, those who are the closest to him. And he says, "And who do you say that I am?" And it's Peter, one of the three of the 12 who is closest to him and the most impulsive, who says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now, that's a pretty bold response at a pretty heavy time in the narrative. Peter's response is, "You are the one. You are the one that we have all been waiting for, the one we've been waiting for generations, the one we've been waiting for as long as we can remember." And that's no small thing. Today, we don't have as much of a cultural sense of how powerful Peter's response is because we have not been waiting for countless generations for someone to come into our history, into our culture, and speak a new word. We also don't sit in a place where we are occupied by a foreign force. So Peter saying this is huge. It's a real moment in the story. And Jesus affirms Peter, the disciple. He uses his Hebrew name here, and then he uses his nickname, Peter, which is interesting because we're talking about identity. This is what this story is about. Who is he? And if who is he, then who are we? He says, "Yes, Simon, son of Jonah," using his Hebrew name. And then he says, "You are Peter," using his nickname, making a play on words in the original language. "You are the rock, and upon this rock I will found my church." Wait, church? Yes, church. Church like this is church? Sort of. If you are thinking of people church, then yes, that church. If you're thinking of building church, no, not that church. This is an identity moment and a founding moment. The story is full of momentum. Jesus continues to Peter and to the rest of his disciples, I am giving y'all the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind here on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever y'all loose here on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is a big deal, but we hear it in code a bit because we're not versed in exactly what he's talking about. But what Jesus is saying here is that this work, this love work is now yours. Yours, Peter. Yours, disciples. Yours, church. Then and now, church. This is a big deal, a really big deal. Back to geometry. If P, then Q. This is where the rubber meets the road here for us, Mountain West, Wyoming, Jackson, St. John's, 2017, Consecration Sunday, in the midst of our campaign, what we can with what we have, where we are. If Jesus is who he says he is, or who Peter says he is, then who are we? According to this exchange, if Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, then we, the church, y'all, you and I, y'all means all, we are the students of, the proxy of, the adopted brothers and sisters of the Son of the living God. We are the children of God. If Jesus is love incarnate, then we are the ones whose cause is to put love into action, to bind and loose love on earth until we find ourselves elsewhere. If Jesus is the way, then we are the way showers, the pathfinders, the trailblazers, the love spreaders. This is no small move in the story here. If he is, and he is, than we are, and we are. It's huge. It's transitional. Jesus is passing the baton, and our hands are out, ready to run the portion of the race that we have before us, however long that is. No one knows. As Will and Carol and Lindy and Jan and Nancy and Suzanne and Cindy and Brad have already said in so many different ways, we have already done the work. There is no preparation to do. There is only showing up, living into who we have been and already are. It's a who thing, not a what thing. Sometimes folks feel uncomfortable asking other folks to give money to causes they support. And that's exactly what our Consecration Sunday is about, making financial commitments for the upcoming year in support of our church. But I can assure you that I don't feel the least bit uncomfortable asking you to, inviting you to, encouraging you to make a commitment to give of your financial resources to this cause, because our cause is love. Binding and loosing love, doing what we can with what we have, where we are. What greater cause is there than love? And another if-then statement. If not us, then who? I know. I've been here for a year. I've made it through old bills and the end of the year. This is Jackson. There are a lot of people helping here. There are a lot of agencies here. There are a lot of faith communities here. But there are none just like this one. The love that we feel from this community is the love that we have to spread. We have a unique experience in and of Jackson. We have been about this work for some time. Historically, we founded both essential and treasured institutions that have gone on to have a life way beyond us, which is absolutely amazing. And we have continued to draw and serve those who are new to this community and those who come to visit. Great work. We can do more. As most of you know, there is a sign at the top of Teton Pass, a new sign. The new sign simply replaces the old one, which was stolen earlier this summer. If the old one is hanging in your garage, then please give it back. As you know, the sign reads, "Howdy, stranger, yonder is Jackson Hole, the last of the old West." I look for that sign every time I come over the pass. I look at that sign and I think, yes, yes, yes. Howdy, stranger. There's a wonderful sense of authentic hospitality in those two words. Howdy, stranger. And yonder lies Jackson Hole. Yonder lies Jackson Hole. And within Jackson Hole, you will find a community within a community, stranger or friend alike. If you are in need, if you are in need of help or of care or of nurture or of support or of inspiration, yonder lies St. John's Episcopal Church. If you are in need of any or all of those things, we, the community of the Episcopal Church in Jackson Hole, will do what we can with what we have to see that you get what you need. We will not do it because we are obligated to do it, or because someone asked us to do it, or because we think we are supposed to do it, or because we'll get something for doing it. We'll do it because it's who we are. It's who we were made to be. Amen.